So last week we tried a little bit of a different technique, which is to ease in from the break to the formal practice with a few encouragements, and then to move into formal instruction that way. And so I invite you still, though, to be in an upright posture, behind closed eyes, if that's the way that you do formal practice, and if not, then that's fine, a soft gaze in front. And just a few gentle encouragements and reminders as we shift into the practice. And one of those is around this dichotomy of when do I listen to the internal voices? And I think of this, and Ajahn Sumedho has taught about this in terms of training the heart versus listening to the heart. And many spiritual and pseudo-spiritual traditions will speak about listening to the heart, being in contact with your intuition. And there is something to be said for that. Ajahn Sumedho, who's usually fairly forgiving and encouraging and trying to get people to be at ease, so this is not a practice about listening to the heart. This is a practice of training the heart. And I think that there's space for both, and part of that is because we train the heart so that the heart becomes trustworthy enough so that we can listen to it and not be afraid that we're being led astray. So as we move into formal practice, it's a healthy reminder that somewhere deep in us we have a faculty that knows the difference between the truths we tell ourselves and the lies we tell ourselves. There is a faculty that knows the difference between delusion and clear seeing. And there is a faculty within us that knows the difference between doubt hijacking our practice through anxiety and actually needing to take a step back because we've gotten wrapped in a cycle we can't get out of. And I'm hoping that that seed, that planting that seed, will keep trust alive, that when things get super tense and super confusing, that you can know that somewhere deep in the mind is a faculty that knows the difference, and that if you can cultivate enough patience and keep coming back enough times, then you will come in contact with that faculty and learn to wield it appropriately. Another reminder around this faculty of loneliness, and understanding that well-felt sadness and well-felt loneliness is as valuable as a well-felt joy and a well-felt love, and that in fact they are interdependent. And that if we can get to a place where we can hold space for loneliness, hold space for sadness, with equal reverence and appreciation and attention as we can for the rest, then paradoxically we cease being lonely because we've developed friendship internally. We have that strong foundation of connection within. And it sounds hokey, but making friends with loneliness cures itself. And this is just another way of saying that what arises in the body, in the mind, is not other than the practice. There is nothing that is going to come up in your body and in your mind that is not appropriate for the practice. So with this sense of inclusivity, with this sense of welcoming, and a broad yet focused awareness, we come into the body. reconnecting with the metta we did at the beginning of our time together. Gratitude that the body exists with all its sensations, pains, and pleasures. Knowing that when we're connected to the body, we're connected to the present moment. And with the union of body and mind, we can hold space for loneliness, for excitement, anxiety, joy, pleasure and pain, pressure to be independent, shame for not being independent. The times we've caused harm and the times that we have been caused harm. The Buddha said that the whole of the practice is within this fathom-long body. Everything we need is right here. And so move through the body at your own pace, observing sensations, the rhythm of breathing, whatever is most conducive to the flow of concentration and mindfulness right now. Not forgetting that the six senses are also part of the body. And so if your practice right now leans toward hearing, or if a smell arises, or there's a taste, or there's a thought that arises, these are not other than the practice. There is room for them too. So decide on a central object, whether it's sensations in the body, the breath, sound. And whenever the mind wanders, acknowledge where it's wandered to and then bring it back to the central object. And let that object be a place of ease and refuge. allow the spine to be long. Allow the jaw to relax into a gentle smile. Let the forehead relax. The shoulders rest downward. Soften the belly. Let go of tension in the groin and thighs. And remember that whatever is arising, the practice is not other than this. Whatever you're looking at right now and saying, go away, it's not time for you, that is part of the practice. Exclude nothing right now. When you come back to the central object, it's not because you hate the other objects that your mind has wandered to. It's because you're dedicated to the cultivation of the mind and the heart. But the rest of it can stay. The anger can stay. The pain can stay. The anxiety and loneliness can stay. There is space for all of it. And if you do have any momentum around your loving kindness practice, if that is particularly salient right now, then you can pepper your awareness of objects that you've wandered to, been distracted by. Before you turn back to central object, you can say to them, you can offer them your goodwill. You can say to them, I care for you too. May you be well. There is space for you also. Pain in my knee, there is space for you. Sounds outside, there is space for you. no matter how many emotions or thoughts arise, you can always take a step back. You can always step out of the story, out of I am, whatever this is, and take a step back and observe it. No pain as pain and pleasure as pleasure. No breathing in as breathing in and breathing out as breathing out. No frustration as frustration and doubt as doubt. Step back from the story and just call it the story that it is. Just a story arising in the mind. This is not mine. This is not myself. This is not what I am. Being focused, holding space, and not making it about mine and me. It arises and it passes away. Practice is not other than this. Life, the Dhamma, reality, is not other than what is arising before us right now. If we see it clearly, we see the whole. Arising and passing. Unfit for identification. Vibratory. Spacious. And again, coming to a place of some gratitude. Whatever it's easiest for you to be grateful for right now. Grateful for a friend. Grateful for the practice, the body. Grateful for ice cream. Something really easy to access in terms of gratitude and joy. Gratitude that we care deeply enough for our integrity that we came together to strengthen it. And letting that gratitude become loving kindness and goodwill. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease, dynamic, energetic, and strong. May I hold space for and see value in all of the emotions that populate my heart and mind. All the emotions that are trying to protect me from something. May I recognize my own capacity for awakeness and peace. May all those present be peaceful and at ease. May we be kind to ourselves and filled with gratitude. May we hold space for all the emotions that populate the heart and mind. May we recognize each other's capacity for awakeness and peace. May all beings everywhere be healthy, dynamic, and strong. May they be peaceful and at ease. May all beings hold space for emotions, memories, without alienating any part of themselves. May all beings recognize their capacity for awakeness and peace. May all beings penetrate the truth of arising and passing away, be liberated from craving and clinging to that which does not serve them.